Boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
rockstar
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, watching some birds fly by, or even
drawing a picture.
I'm joined here in the global studio, first of all, by the man who is the personal trainer for both the Hulk and Captain America, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, what is up?
And also here in Barcelona by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you.
Awesome. So today we are talking about a very controversial topic, and maybe that's why you're here listening. Maybe the title kind of got you to click and you're interested in this topic. You're interested in the big things that are going on in the world, really important things that are going on. We wanted to take the opportunity to really be able to kind of look at this from the point of view of how does a global citizen see racism? Because this is a really big value of our company. It's something that we are trying to do with our company, is to create a world beyond borders. And really, with everything that's going on in the world right now, kind of having these global competencies is more important than ever. So as you can see, we're really excited to talk about this topic. We've got a lot to cover, and this is such a deep topic and everything. So we're going to quickly roll into today's shout out, and then the quote, and then we will get into today's main topic. So Justin, do you want to share with everyone who our shout out is for today?
Sure. So we have an awesome 5-star shout out from Eduardus, 1976, from Indonesia. So he says, "Hi, Ethan, Justin, and Andrea. Nice to have you back. I've been listening to your podcast since 2 years ago, a perfect way to learn English naturally. My favorite part? Your introduction to Justin in the beginning of the podcast always cracks me up. Keep up the good work." Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much, Eduardus.
I don't know where Ethan's just telling the truth, you know?
I have no idea why that would crack you up if it's just, you know, facts.
What does crack somebody up mean?
So would you use this expression as well in the UK, Andrea?
Yeah, we use it a lot.
So it means basically to make someone laugh, to crack someone up. So that said, thanks so much again, Eduardus. And if you want to leave us a 5-star review and possibly get shouted out on the podcast and also help a bunch of other people all around the world to have fun learning with us and go beyond the classroom, then all you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to this and leave us a 5-star review. All right, so that said, let's jump into today's awesome quote. Do you want to share this, Andrea?
Sure. So today's quote is by Nelson Mandela. "No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally in the human heart than its opposite."
Yeah, that is a really powerful, incredible quote from a very incredible man. So I think that really Nelson Mandela is one of the perfect people to kind of like frame today's discussion, because a lot of people might know that he was very famous for, he was a president in South Africa, and he actually was the person who ended apartheid, which was basically a period in South African history where there was segregation of people of color and white people. So he was very revolutionary in that way. And I think he's really one of the most important global citizens in history.
He spent how many years in prison? Do you know that?
Was it 27?
27 years.
I think it was 27.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing too, because like he kind of came to power and everything, and maybe it would have been very easy for him to kind of like turn against, you know, the people who had persecuted him and everything. But I think that he really was trying to bring more of an equal view of things, you know, of not us needing to turn this around on the people who were angry at us or who showed hate towards us, but you know, really doing the opposite. And I think that there's other people from history that we might mention today who have had kind of a similar impact on history, like Martin Luther King Jr. in the United States, or Gandhi in India. But that said, kind of starting with that amazing quote, let's roll into today's main topic.
So I think a really great way to introduce this main topic is really our mission to create a world beyond borders. So when people are learning English, I think a really aha moment, a really big moment earlier in the process is when they realize that English connects them to the world. That really, to be the best versions of themselves, they need to connect to the world. And the world in the sense of a new level of information, culture, relationships to really become a global citizen. I'd like to think about it in the sense of like when the first spacecrafts went to space, the first humans went to space in the 1960s, they went there thinking that they were going to the moon, and that was the main focus. But really, when they launched out into space and they turned around and looked at the Earth, they saw this glowing blue and green ball in the middle of the blackness, and they had this transcendental experience. They saw that the Earth is one, ultimately, that we're all one. We came from the same glowing ball of life. So in some sense, there's no borders. It's like literally there are no borders on the world. And that, in some sense, is a nice metaphor for global citizenship. When you learn English, when you connect to the world, you realize that our borders are man-made. They're conceptual. And you can really step beyond that. Use English as a way to do that. You don't need English, but it's a really great tool. This will help you really get to the point to seeing that no matter what divides us, what unites us is far greater.
Mm-hmm. That was very well said, Justin. And I think like also the borders that we tend to think about, you know, is the actual physical borders, or maybe they're not so physical, but that separate countries. But I think there's also like borders, like the borders in our mind that kind of separates different cultures, maybe people depending on their race, their gender, their sexual orientation, and kind of all of these things that really, when you start to have more of the values of a global citizen, you start to become maybe more curious about understanding why other people are different, and maybe not just being judgmental, not being so quick just to believe everything that you heard when you were growing up and things like this, or the beliefs that come out of your country or your culture, then really it kind of like opens you up to a whole new world.
I think that's what people sometimes forget, is that we are the human race. So we are one. And although now, like, it's really important to be talking about this and to be talking about racism, but hopefully sometime not in the too distant future, we will see ourselves more like that as humans, because that's exactly what we all are.
Totally. So this is a conversation I think that we're really interested in having in general, but the reason that it's kind of coming at this time is just because probably if you're not living in a bubble, then you probably know that there's been a lot of kind of starting in the United States with the death of a man named George Floyd, who was a black man who was killed by the police. And now there's been just, you know, a large period there of anti-racism protests and even riots that have stemmed from this, and has kind of created like a polarized effect in the United States. And now it's kind of expanded also to a lot of different countries around the world, that there's demonstrations. Andrea was just telling me, in fact, that the other day there was a demonstration here in Barcelona. So,
yeah, it's, you know, it's created unrest around the whole world, and everybody is talking about it now, which I think is the most important thing, because maybe, you know, as we are three white privileged people here, you know, doing this podcast, maybe we didn't go through these types of experiences, so we felt like it wasn't our place to talk about them or to comment on them. But I think what we're all starting to realize now is that it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that people are learning more about it, they're talking about it, and we're trying all to educate ourselves and see what we can do to help in this situation as well.
Oh yeah, so that's a really great way to start. But another thing that we wanted to really use as an intro to this topic, we all watched this video together. This video of basically, they brought together a group of people to take a DNA test. It's called the DNA Journey. And this group of people, so they sat them down each one by one and asked them, what do you think your DNA is going to reveal about you? So everybody said, like, there were British people that said, like, oh, I'm 100% British. And then they asked them, okay, what countries do you not like? What nationalities? And everybody had an answer. Somebody was like, oh, the Germans. And there was an Indian guy who said, like, oh, the Pakistanians. And, you know, everybody has, there's the other. And they all think that they're not the other. And what happened after that?
A lot of these people, it was kind of interesting saying that they didn't actually realize, when you go a little bit further back, that they actually had, like, blood DNA that comes from these different places. So, for example, like the British guy that says that he doesn't really like Germans, he actually had something like 20% of his DNA kind of came from German relatives. So I think we can be very quick to judge, and it can be also like very uniting in some sense to like have a common enemy. But really, when that's kind of like producing hate, kind of in the way that like the quote that we looked at, you know, it's just destructive, and it's just kind of perpetuates destruction.
Yeah, and I think like what you take, there's a kind of a nice aspect in that video in how people are quite proud of, you know, parts of who they are and their ethnic backgrounds. And that's great, as long as, you know, you're not judgmental of others or kind of have this this kind of fixed mindset, or, you know, you're less open-minded about them. And hopefully what happened from that is that people started to become more open-minded and actually see how, you know, I'm actually connected more to these people than I actually thought.
Yeah, from one perspective, like we said earlier, if you zoom out enough, you go to space, we're all coming from the same planet. Right, we're all ultimately made of the same material. But and then when you zoom in and you give people a DNA test, you see that like actually everybody just has a mixture, and there really is no pure race. We're all from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Totally. As Andrea said before, we're one big global family. We are the human race. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with that said, I think that's a nice way to start talking about really the big topic that we've been waiting to talk about that we talked about earlier. It's such a huge topic, and something that we were just discussing earlier, and we realized like we don't, like even the three of us, we're, you know, we have different perspectives on it, different pieces of information, and but it was just really interesting to hear other perspectives and also observe my own like emotions in the conversation, because sometimes like, you know, Ethan or Andrew might say something that I don't agree with, and then I just observe my emotions, because I think when your emotions sort of fire, when your emotions kind of like flare up, that's a good moment to actually just recognize that maybe you have something to learn, because you're taking it personally. I think that's something that anytime you talk to somebody about these sensitive issues, it's like that's going to happen, but you have two options. You can double down, or you can open up and become curious. What does double down mean?
Yeah, double down is like you're closing up, right? You're kind of hunching. So if you... it's quite the opposite of the other thing you said, like opening up. So that's kind of really what a global citizen does, is instead of being quick to judge, they're curious. And I think that that's really one of the main issues that we're seeing right now in the world. And, you know, generally with politics, there's a lot of emotion behind like any sort of argument. And that emotion, a lot of times, as Justin said, kind of will close us off to really being able to understand. So it's always good when you can to kind of be mindful. I think like meditation can be really useful for this, because it kind of can help you to separate from your reactions. So it can help you to maybe step back for a second. You can feel that emotion, and then you can say like, wait, you know, is like really what I'm feeling, is my opinion, is that really the truth? And like, maybe instead of having a reaction, an emotional reaction that might just kind of cause separation, distance, destruction, you can actually come at it from a point of being curious, being like, let me understand more about this. Let me ask questions.
I think that's so important, because it's very easy to become emotional about certain things, but it kind of clouds your judgment and you can't really think clearly when your emotions are so high. So it's always important, like you said, Justin, to stop and think for a moment and to take a step back maybe, so that you can gather your thoughts and think more clearly before you actually maybe try and attack someone or just come into an argument with someone, because you're not thinking clearly in that way.
Especially online too, because it's really easy. I think when you hide behind like your Instagram account or Twitter, you don't see the other person. It's not a person, it's just kind of like a name. And it's really easy to polarize that person, see the person as the other, when face to face it would be a completely different conversation. It's so much more human.
Totally. Mm-hmm,
definitely.
I think it's really important too to recognize that like so many of these things, so many of your preconceptions about other people, you know, be it whatever it is about them that's different from you, is maybe things that came from when you were a kid, from, you know, an experience you had as a child, maybe something from your parents, something from your culture, something from, you know, the media, from the news. And so it's kind of like, again, it's like you need to reflect on like, what is the actual like truth in there? And actually, before we were recording, Andrea was saying kind of something interesting about how important it is for us to really be focusing on children, about like, you know, parents and teachers and other people who are important influences in children's lives, about being able to talk about the question of race, right?
Yeah, because I think some people don't know, maybe their child is quite young and they don't know whether or not it's the right time to speak to them about these types of issues. But I read an article that was titled, "Are Your Kids Too Young to Talk About Race?" And it was so interesting to know that when a child is born, they don't know any race, but by 3 months, they're already recognizing their parents' faces. And so they start to associate faces and people based on what they're around. But then by the age of 2.5 years old, children actually select their playmates based on race. So obviously they don't know, they're not going into the playground and saying, oh, I'm not going to play with her because she's this, or I'm not going to play with him because he looks this way. It's just because of their environment and maybe the faces that they're used to. And so it's kind of something that's more inbuilt within them. And then by the age of 5, many children show the same racial attitudes held by adults in their culture. So they've already learned to associate some groups with higher status than others and things like this. So in particular, from the age of 5 to 7 is one of the most important times where you can really start to talk to children about race, because they'll already be able to start understanding it. And, you know, based on their environment and what they hear from the adults around them or what they see, they'll start to make their own judgments. They pick up those judgments and they'll continue with them. So that's why it's so important to actually speak to children about this too.
One thing I'll say a bit off of what you're saying is, like, a lot of people haven't really gone through that critical thinking around it. They never had that adult figure or that environment to help them. So a lot of people, even adults, they're kind of the 5-year-old still. You know what I mean? So it's, it's kind of like, it's natural in some sense, depending on your environment, to grow up with kind of like fearing what you don't know. And then, like, mm-hmm. I think ultimately it's like you learn to question that, step outside your comfort zone, and then grow and critically think about things. But ultimately, some people get stuck in that. So it's important, I think, when you're having conversations with people, recognize each person is kind of coming from where they're at in their own upbringing, and you can guide them along. You can sort of help open their mind as well.
It's true, because I don't know how long it would take for an adult. I mean, surely it should still be fairly quick if they're having those conversations. But with a child from the age of 5 to 7, even if you're having conversations and you're educating them more about race and the world, in as little as 1 week, they'll already start to change their views. So, you know, it's that quick. It's not like, you know, there's a lost cause or anything like that. And it's the same with adults. I think it's really important to have those conversations.
It's pretty incredible. I think too, like, kind of based on that, it's interesting to have the perspective maybe that if someone is thinking the wrong way about race or about, you know, anything about people being different than he or she is, there's almost like the point of view that you can take is like almost pitying that person because they didn't have anyone when they were young to tell them, you know, that to kind of give them these values of being a global citizen more, and to kind of help to give them more of a view of equality.
Or you can have compassion instead of pity for them as well. I think that's even harder. I think even like kind of loving your enemy, loving people, not even seeing them as an enemy, but every person you're interacting with, just kind of embracing them with that empathy and compassion.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like the quote we saw at the beginning, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it as well. I love that quote because a lot of it is based on fear. Like if someone is angry or has like a negative emotional perspective or cannot see things clearly, a lot of the time it's because they're afraid of something. And if someone is afraid, you should never, like I've experienced it in teaching as well. As the head teacher of a primary school, I would have parents come to complain to me about certain things. But when I got talking to them, I could see that they were afraid. They had fear. They were afraid for their child. They wanted the best for their child. And, you know, I'm not going to attack that person for feeling that way. The most important thing is to give them love, to give them back love, to show them you understand, and to help them in that way. So it's important to, I think, also sometimes see hate. When people hate, it's also because there's a deep-rooted fear within them.
Totally, I couldn't agree more. And really, today's podcast, I mean, like, as I briefly mentioned before, is really just coming out of us seeing that in the United States and all around the world, really, there's just been kind of like this boom of polarization of you know, the people who are in this group being like the minority and who are really sick of being mistreated and everything, you know, for being of a different race, and fighting back and protesting and rioting and things like this. And the other side that we're seeing, as I said, like a polarization of all of a sudden, maybe all of these people are kind of coming out of the closet, so to speak, as kind of being maybe what might seem very, very hateful and stuff. So we're seeing like these two very different groups and everything. It's causing a really big divide in the United States and other places in the world. And as we said at the beginning, we really kind of want to give more of a view of this from how do you react to that in a way that is having more global competency, having more of a view of compassion, as Justin said, and striving more to like understand rather than to judge.
I think to add on to that, all of the things that you're talking about now is like you have the coronavirus, so the health system has really just been really debilitated. And on top of that, you have president. I'm not going to, you know, go on a rant about Trump, but I mean, he's an angry child in there and, you know, trying to deal with this in a way that's not very productive. So I think it's a really delicate moment in the United States. And it's nice to see all of the support, I think, for the light side, at least the positive side in the entire world, all these different countries, all these different people from all around the world kind of supporting us with the protests going on there, Black Lives Matter and everything.
Yeah, I think also that social media has had a big impact on this because, or maybe even just technology, you know, because maybe normally like these things have been happening for years and years, but you wouldn't necessarily hear about it. Whereas this particular murder of George Floyd was actually videotaped, you know, on a camera phone, and then it's there available for the world to see. So I think, like you said, Justin, it's definitely heightened with coronavirus and everything that has been happening. But I think it's just because we are now seeing this a lot more, whereas maybe before we didn't have access to this kind of information.
Definitely. And I mean, the other thing is interesting, you bring up social media, because the social media, that kind of like polarization, it just like fuels it. So you kind of have like these different algorithms and Twitter and Facebook and other places like this that really just they see that you like a certain thing, and so they show you more of that. So it's kind of like on both sides, you know, if you are from the side of maybe being more against like the protests, the riots and everything, then you're probably going to see tweets or messages from people who feel the same way. And if you're on the other side, you know, you're kind of like supporting the Black Lives Matter movement and everything, then you're probably only going to see other people who support that. So it kind of just, it's something that happens in all sorts of different areas. But instead of these two groups being able to maybe come together and understand each other in some way, as difficult as that would be, certainly kind of like having these different algorithms and stuff that perpetuate just continuing to think in the same way doesn't really help.
Even like, what are we calling it? So like you mentioned protests, riots. I mean, each term actually has a meaning, right? So I think, you know, reading about this, it seems like most people are really peaceful, right? 99% of people are peaceful, but then you have that small minority like causing problems and, you know, rioting, looting ultimately. And then that reflects badly upon the entire movement. And it might actually make it more difficult for change, or I don't know, who knows? Does it help? I don't know.
I thought maybe it could be just like a good moment too, because we've said like several terms here. So maybe it's like kind of helpful to know what is a protest, what is a riot, what is looting that Justin said. So do you want to explain those things, Justin?
Well, yeah, protests. Obviously people come out, right? And they're protesting the government, and you have different types of protests, right? You can protest, you don't have to protest the government, obviously, but and a riot is when people are kind of going crazy, they lose control, and there's violence. Ultimately, they're breaking into things, they're breaking things, they're being violent with other people, disrespecting other people in this way. And looting is like when they're invading like stores and burning stuff down. Well, I think that's actually a characteristic of riot. But to loot, yes, to break into a store and steal stuff. Like I heard stories of like, you know, burning down, you know, stores, like local mom and pop stores. So mom and pop store, Mr. V, what is that?
It's kind of like mom and pop comes from like mom and dad. So it's like a store that's owned by a mom and dad, but it's not always kind of like the case. It just has to do with like it being a small local business as opposed to, you know, something that's owned by like a big corporation.
And then, you have bigger stores as well, like Target. There's another example of that. And people burning down the police station, like the Minnesota police station got burnt down, and the police are like kind of, they don't want to intervene because ultimately they're the problem. And people are saying defund the police as well. Defund, Andrea? What does that mean?
So if you fund something, it means that you're paying for it, you're giving money to that particular cause or institution so that it can run properly. And to defund would mean to take that money away or not continue to give the money so that it can run properly. So you mentioned, Justin, that there's probably a lot more peaceful protests going on than riots. However, what actually is being shown on the news, or what sells newspapers? So what's getting more coverage? So I think it's just an important point to note as well that maybe what you're reading in the newspapers, online, or what you're watching on TV may not also be a true reality of things. I think these riots and things like this will get more coverage in the news rather than the peaceful protest. So it's important to be mindful of that, and not forget that, you know, the majority of what's happening is peaceful.
And it's kind of like I think that side maybe in a lot of ways can be like much more powerful if it's able to kind of like get wings and everything. So like maybe if you're kind of like breaking things, you're destroying things, maybe people are just seeing like you as part of the problem. Whereas, you know, if you're doing it in a peaceful way, I'm sure there's historical examples of both, but, you know, we kind of have like these, some of these examples that we kind of touched on, like Gandhi in India, you know, led like just an immense peaceful movement and everything that eventually kind of led to the independence of the country. And also like in American history, we have Martin Luther King Jr., who was just so famous for also like bringing in a peaceful way and like really inspiring people to kind of take action and everything and to show compassion where, you know, people on the other side were showing hate. And I mean, I don't think we're really to say, you know, if it's completely wrong what these people are doing, if it needs to be done maybe in order for them really to be heard. But in a way, it's kind of, you know, you're just fighting fire with fire. You're in such a way, you're just kind of like perpetuating that violence and everything. So it's easy for the other side maybe to justify their actions, you know, whether that's throwing tear gas, arresting people, continuing to be violent. And, you know, when you're kind of like doing it in a peaceful way, then if they have any action like that, you know, it's completely unjustified. You know, no one can justify violence against peace.
Okay, so we had a long conversation about just the mechanics of racism and communication and, you know, how people are raised. And then we talked about the riots or protests that are happening now and peaceful protests, civil disobedience with Gandhi and Martin Luther King. So really, what are the key takeaways here for people listening here?
Well, I think before we started recording, Andrea said it in a really great way. So I might pass her the baton.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I've been reading a lot about everything that's happening as well. And I think the most important thing to do right now is to educate oneself on what is happening, to try to learn more and to find out what we can do to help. The most important, I think, is starting with a conversation like we are today as well, because I think for so long, you know, we felt that maybe because we weren't in people's shoes, or we couldn't really relate to what people have gone through, that we weren't part of the conversation. But that it's, I think it's very clear now that that's not true, and we need to speak up. We need to speak up and support this movement, you know, to get people talking about it and to get people learning more about it, just to really understand. And then they can see maybe what else can happen and what they can do.
Totally. I think it's a lot of it too, is maybe just having kind of the, like you said, being able to put yourself in other people's shoes, that if you are from, you know, maybe from a group that's considered a minority or something, if you have someone that maybe is kind of showing support or curiosity or something, maybe not being so quick to jump to the kind of like judgment that you can't understand my position, but maybe if that person, at least if they're open, help them to understand your position and everything, help them to understand what you've been through. Because I think like the three of us, for example, none of us really know what it's like to be a Black person, for example, living in the United States, or how difficult it must be to have to deal with, you know, cops treating you differently because of the color of your skin. But, you know, I think at least for the three of us and for many people out there, they would be very open to just understanding that, to knowing what it's like to being able to have a conversation around this and to be able to show that support.
I think cultivating a diversity of information is really important as well. Like, Ethan, you mentioned earlier, like filter bubbles. So when the algorithms decide your news on Facebook because you're clicking like on certain items, Facebook's going to give you more of that. It's an outrage machine. Outrage is like anger, right? So they're going to feed you news that makes you more outraged, that makes you more angry. And just recognizing that. And so try to get out of that filter bubble and have different sources of news. Challenge your ideas. Really be like, okay, well, if I believe this, what are the arguments against that? And part of that is like listening as well to somebody who you disagree with, and really being able to reconstruct their argument as well and be charitable with their argument as well. Because a lot of times I think we have this confirmation bias. What is confirmation bias? Anybody know?
It's when basically like something kind of supports your opinion already. So it's kind of like just leads you to believe even more so that that opinion is true, even though maybe it's not, because you're for example, like Justin saying, you're kind of just watching always the same news or following the same people on social media and things like this. So it makes you believe that your opinion is even more correct when maybe you're not seeing the whole truth.
Because you're going to click on what you're going to naturally like scan the Google feed or Facebook and look for what you agree with, what agrees with you. And then that's a self-reinforcing loop.
And it's something that's very easy to get sucked into because it, in general, it feels good. You know, it feels good to hear people agreeing with you, to hear people who are saying the same things or having the same opinions, more so than to have that questioned, which, like, you know, when things are put into question for you, our brain really likes stability. It really likes certainty. So it can be less comforting, but a lot more beneficial, at least if you're considering yourself a global citizen, if you're considering yourself someone who is committed to growth, and really the way that you're going to grow is by being uncomfortable.
And I think you, wherever you're at and whatever country you're living in, I think it's important to recognize that that's another bubble. It's a smaller world that you're going to have news there. But when you become a global citizen, when you connect to the world, when you access those new levels of information, you open your mind and your heart to new forms of culture and you meet new people from different countries, that breaks open your filter bubbles. And you have an opportunity to learn from all these different perspectives all around the world and have, in some sense, like we talked about, that overview effect of looking at the earth from the outside.
Great. Well, I think that we've talked a lot about this topic and everything. I hope that you have enjoyed listening, and whether or not you've agreed with us 100%, hopefully you've at least gotten to the point where maybe you are questioning your own truth and reflecting on it. And we would love to kind of continue the conversation with you. So if you have any comments about this podcast, about the topics that we've been talking about, we would be interested to continue with them, to continue also with your fellow listeners. So you can find all the show notes from today with all the vocabulary, expressions, the different links that we've talked about, and of course, where you can continue the conversation over at reallifeglobal.com/racism.
Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all of the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, music, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.